Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Down in Adelaide, Hutsy, police are on the hunt for a criminal mastermind.
Ooh.
A genius of the highest order who spent weeks carefully choosing his target and then planning his heist like Danny Ocean from Ocean's 11. This is what happened.
With his every move captured on CCTV, the suspect picks up a rock and hurls it into a window. Once inside the Norwood Cafe, he gets down on his hands and knees with the cash register firmly in his sights.
Okay, I may have overstated things with the criminal mastermind part. this numpty, as you heard at the start, was already on camera outside the cafe when he picked up the rock and threw it through the window. But then for some reason, I think he's based everything he knows about break-ins off what he's seen in movies and television. He's went, oh, hang on, there could be cameras inside.
Yeah.
Forgot about the ones outside.
Gotta be careful.
Better start crawling.
Yeah, I don't know how many criminal masterminds use a rock, though, as way of entering.
It'd be good in a movie, though. You know, normally they roll out this kit and it has all the little lockpicks and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, at the end of the roll of lockpicks, there's just a rock.
Different sizes of rocks.
So, yeah, this guy was crawling around. At one point, I was hoping that he would start doing Pilates moves, like he was trying to get through an invisible laser grid, like Catherine Zeta-Jones, like doing the sexy like thing underneath. It's too bad the cameras don't have microphones, because I reckon the whole time he was going, just humming the Mission Impossible theme.
Why not?
Obviously this guy is still on the run or the crawl, I guess. The thing that leaves them baffled, though, is, he obviously took a whole bunch of cash, over $10,000 in cash. He even took money from the charity tin.
Oh, no, that's a no-no.
So he's an idiot. But he also pinched another thing that has left police a little confused.
Along with some jewellery and not one, but two bottles of orange juice.
Okay. You might have got low blood sugar from all the crawling. I don't know why he took the orange juice. It's like, all this crawling's made me thirsty. I hope... When he did take the orange juice, though, he went, oh, wait, there could be pressure sensors under the orange juice.
Ooh, yeah.
And he had like a bag of sand to leave on, like Indiana Jones or something. I don't know. So, yeah, he's still on the run. Police are trying to track him down. But, you know, at least all this crawling has given him good practice, Hutsy, because when they do catch up with him, he's going to have to crawl up the magistrate's ass to avoid some prison time, I reckon.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
When it comes to tipping... What do you believe? You believe like the tip jar at the front should be divided amongst everyone in the workplace, or?
If I get some spare change, like in Australia, sometimes there's tip jars or trays at the counter, and if there's spare change from like a coffee order or whatever, chuck a few coins in the tray.
Yeah.
I know in other countries, and I've been to some other countries where tipping is sort of implied or, you know, in suggested. And so you've got to work out how much you're going to tip the person based on their level of service.
I thought my ultimate test when I was overseas was in Bali trying to haggle people that don't earn much money out of a couple of cents to get the price down. But really? I reckon I'd struggle with tipping. I'd be like, I don't know.
Out what the going rate is. If it's like 10%, then you just quickly work it out. You know, you might need to use a calculator on your phone a few times, but you sort it out.
And I think you can work it out when you're failed at tipping. They're like, oh, you forgot your change. Like, it's just you tight ass, you forgot your change. We're bringing this up because there was a woman in the US last 24 hours, you've probably seen this story, it's gone viral, who received $4,400 worth of tips from a particular large group of movers and shakers from the table. That's around 6,000 Australian dollars. And obviously she was doing waitressing to get through university and things like that. She was like paying off student loans. This would be fantastic.
This would really help.
Boss informed her, though, she'd be fired if she didn't share it amongst the other workers in the place.
Well, if that's a policy that they have, then that's just the way it is, I guess. It's not like they've just singled her out on this one occasion and said, oh, no, you've got to share that because it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That seems unfair if that's the case, but...
What she's saying is that hasn't been the case in that workplace previously.
Oh, well, there you go.
So it's like, gives everyone else a taste. Yeah.
I think she should keep it, but...
I think she should.
It's one of those things. I think it's mainly hospitality that gets tips. When you think about it, you're like, there should be other industries where you tip them. Like, I imagine whenever you put your life in the hands of someone else, like, you should tip pilots, I think.
Thank you for not killing me.
Tip jar at the front of the plane. Or surgeons. Anyone who's cutting you open in some way, give them a tip. If they're doing a circumcision, they already get the tip. But otherwise, you know, you tip them well for good service.
Of course you do.
Oh, you didn't leave your keys inside me. Here's a good tip for you.
And then they probably go off, you've tipped them, they're going, oh, I probably should have done a better job. I didn't realise I was going to get a tip. It's like, I'll see you soon when the wound opens back up again. But we want to get your thoughts on this, whether you've worked in the hospitality industry or not, if you've worked in the industry where there's tipping, whatever the circumstance, we want to know, if you receive a tip, should you have to divide it amongst all the workers that are in the workplace, or should you just have it yourself? 1300 92 1250 is the number. Weighing in on the issue is Kelly from Toothdale. Now, Kelly, what do you reckon? Keep the entire tip for yourself or share it amongst the workmates? Where do you sit on this one?
Just the individual. If you do your job properly and someone rewards you for it, you should keep it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Kelly, especially if you know you're really, like, shining on customers.
Absolutely.
And doing your best, and then there might be another member of the team who's just, you know,
just
miserable and, making it hard.
That's right. The boss should use her as an example and say, this is how you get your good money.
Exactly right. It might motivate the rest of the staff. Have you worked in the industry before?
No. I don't like people that much, so I wouldn't.
At least you're honest. So you'd be one of the ones that wouldn't be getting the tips? Is this what you're saying? You'd be at the bottom
end? Probably. Yeah, here's your dinner.
I just imagine you're changing. All of a sudden, if there's a bit of money involved, you'd be like, hi, happiest person in the world.
That's it. But, I mean, if you're at the club and you're playing the pokies and you win the jackpot, you don't share it with everybody else that's there.
That's true. That is true. Good point.
It's the same.
Good point, Kelly.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks for chatting with us this morning. No tip.
No worries. Have a good day. Bye.
I will say, though, occasionally when you do play the pokers and you've got that button that's get the drink service, I do tend to maybe tip the person that comes over and brings me a beer while I'm sitting having a slap, so I think that's necessary.
I don't know. I think I'd be dirty if I was like one of those, you remember the movie Office Space where you know the service with like all the flair on and you're like just over the top enthusiastic and there's someone else who's sharing
your
tip.
And you do go to some of those restaurants as well. Mm. When they're big chain ones, like the first time I went to the Outback Steakhouse, like everything's like just bloom and onion rings. I'm like, I've never even heard of this place. All the Americans think it's something that's everywhere in Australia. Mm. And the servers there were like half of them were Americans and they were like really over the top just trying to like, can I get your coat for you? I'm just like, can you just leave me alone for 2 minutes? That'd be good.
Can I bear your children?
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Thank
Plenty you. Of other people there were sort of going in the same direction as Kelly saying, no, if you've made the customer happy as an individual, you deserve to keep the tip. While others are saying also, if there's a tip jar at the front, that gets divided amongst the other workers. But
yeah, I'd agree with
an individual
that.
Server, if someone gives you a tip, you get to keep it.
Mm. Interesting.
Just don't tell the tax man, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Had quite a few stop and start attempts at holidays the last couple of months, and then all of a sudden the original plan was to go to the Gold Coast, and Anastasia's not playing ball. Now she is playing ball, but she's playing hard to get. It's a bit all over the place. So I'm like, all right, you know what, forget Queensland for a little while. I'll go to Victoria, I'll go to Melbourne. And it's like, okay, well, there's a bit going on down there, but when it comes to the punch, I haven't really seen too much of Melbourne whatsoever.
Oh, there's plenty to do down there. You can go and, you know, take in some of the tourist attractions, join in on an anti-vax march.
Yeah.
There's heaps of stuff to do in Melbourne.
Been toying with the idea the last couple of days. We've finalised accommodation, all that sort of stuff. And then the idea's come up because I'm going to be down there when the Boxing Day test is on in Melbourne. It's a huge event, 100,000 people, Ashes, Boxing Day test. Never been to an Ashes Boxing Day test, but I have been on Boxing Day test when Australia played India a few years back in about 2011 or so. And this it was unbelievable. So it's like, all right, going to be down there again. But it's just me and the missus at this stage. And I'm like, well, I feel a bit weird just going to the cricket on my own, just sort of sitting there being that guy who's just, you know, sitting on his own like a weirdo, like when I go to a movie theatre or something. And I'm like, I don't really want to pay for a ticket for her. They are quite expensive because she has no interest in cricket whatsoever.
She's sensible.
Mm. Then she made the sensible decision of saying, all right, what about your mate? He loves the cricket. What about asking if he wants to go? I'm like, he'll do anything for cricket. This guy, nicknamed Tin Man because he used to play cricket, and he runs like the Tin Man holding an axe from the Wizard of Oz. Quite hilarious. But his dedication to cricket, I've seen him sneak, you know, into all sorts of backstage areas to get former cricketers' signatures. Even when the Ashes series was on, when SBS was hosting the coverage, he waited outside the TV studio to get the former players' signatures that were on air. Like, this was like 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
A knack for...
He's got a knack.
Getting into those areas.
I mentioned cricket. He said, I'm in. I'm like, okay, let's buy the tickets. I've not bought tickets for anything forever.
Right.
Like, I'm an amateur about this. And then all of a sudden I just go, bang, bang, tickets, yep, rush of blood. And it's got like the counter saying, you know, they're still available. We've only got this percent is almost sold out. I'm like, 10-minute counter. I'm like, yep.
You're doing it online, obviously.
Yep, online, bought the whole lot. Yep, no worries, good. Cool. And then all of a sudden I'm like, maybe I should have just done some research about the ticket company I've bought off. Now, without naming names, this particular ticket reseller has been taken to court the last few years over failing to deliver promised tickets to certain people and selling, you know, tickets that had already been sold on their website.
So you think you may have been scammed? Oh. Is this, did you go to 100%genuinetickets.net or something like this? Or is it, what's the name of the place you went to? You can name them.
Oh, no. I'm just like, I better not drop their name just in case. But they've been involved in like a $7 million lawsuit the last couple of years. Okay. Over.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you probably know who I'm talking about. And I'm just like, all right, $260 later, I'm just like, oh, geez. Now I'm sitting here going, I'm looking at all the reviews after the fact. And it's like, one stars are like, don't deal with these guys. Was promised this, didn't get that. And I'm like, oh, no.
You get your tickets in the mail. Like you get your tickets come through and you find out you've been booked in for a COVID test, not the Boxing Day test. You're like, what the hell?
I'm like,
should have read the fine print.
What have I done? Like here I am stressing out. So I'm in the process now of trying to cancel this payment to go to a more legitimate source like Ticketek or something like that, which as I've just seen works out about $50 cheaper than the ones I just bought for slightly better seats. Anyway,
ouch. Okay.
Yeah, ouch, very much ouch. Hopefully I just don't get there with the mate. I've promised him the world. We get there, we go to scan in, and they're just like, sorry, these tickets have already been sold. If that's the case, I don't know, maybe I could snap or something like that. Like it's something I was looking very much forward to. I don't know what I could be doing. I could be losing control. Maybe the commentators will be all of a sudden commentating something like this with me.
Oh, gee, look out, Tony. There's a streaker on the pitch. Oh, gee, some clown carrying a placard of some description. This idiot's come onto the ground carrying some kind of placard.
Give me bloody tickets!
He's completely stark naked. Well, now I've seen everything.
Yeah, and those particular tickets, if you're unaware, they're about $5,000 to $6,000 in a lifetime ban.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.